School PR professionals spend a week or two each year networking, if they're lucky. We pour into this professional development, and the conversations drive us in our work. Collaboration is one of the best parts of our job, but then we go back to our daily work and the buzz of bright conversations and innovation starts to wear off.
Welcome to School PR Happy Hour. We seek to create a shared space of collaboration and an opportunity to continue those conversations long after the closing sessions of our state and national conferences.
We are a community of communicators that lean on each other in hard times and learn from each other regularly.
This podcast is about just that, getting to know each other better and sharing our passions about furthering education, one story at a time.
What's up, friends, and welcome to another episode of School PR Happy Hour. My name's Justin Deering, and I'm a communication strategist for CISO Communications. As we mentioned in earlier episodes this season, Aaron and I really feel like this show is starting to get back to the reason we started it over 3 years ago. We want school PR pros to have a shot to learn from the best of the best, and this month is no different. As we all know, or as you're frantically realizing at this very moment, October is National Principals Month, and we are lucky today to have a highly respected and highly engaging principal joining us to talk about how she focuses on communicating with her community. Later in the episode, she'll open up a little bit about how we communication folks can help the campus out, where we can step in and step up and make their jobs easier. I hope you enjoyed today's conversation with Dr. Ryan Daniel from Fort Foote Elementary in Fort Washington, Maryland.
We're excited to welcome back Class Intercom as a sponsor for Season 4 of School PR Happy Hour. Class Intercom is a social media management tool designed specifically for schools and districts. Class Intercom allows for social media content creation from an unlimited amount of users, including students, in a safe and carefully moderated way. It also has built-in reporting and archiving for one school-friendly price. Learn more at classintercom.com.
All right, we're going to get right into today's interview. I'm excited for today's conversation because I have a gut feeling it's just a candid conversation we're going to have. It is October, as we mentioned in the intro, is Principals Month. We're excited to have a principal here today that focuses on communications and talks to us a little bit about how they approach that. And being that I am currently married to a first-year campus administrator, I was told not to take a single second longer than I need for this interview. So we didn't have a pre-show conversation. We're just rolling straight into some questions. I'm excited to have Dr. Ryan Daniel here with me today. Dr. Daniel, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
We have a mutual acquaintance friend, Dr. Gracie Branch with NAESP. And she connected us through an email through Susan Hardy Brooks, who is a good friend and colleague of mine. She introduced me to Gracie, who sent me your email and said, I've got the perfect person. Let's go. I have spent some time this morning reading about your campus, reading about your community, doing a little research for this. But I don't want to steal your thunder because I saw some really cool things online. I want to give you the opportunity to introduce yourself, introduce your community, introduce your campus, brag on your students, brag on your teachers. So I'm going to shut up and let you talk and just tell us a little about yourself.
Oh, I love that. Embrace the brag. So hi, everyone. My name is Dr. Ryan Daniel. I'm the proud principal of Fort Foote Elementary School, located in Prince George's County, Maryland. This is gorgeous Prince George's, as we call our school district. I'm actually a product of Prince George's County Public Schools. So I am, when I say I live and breathe this county, I'm a product of it, and I wanted to come back to the same school district that I felt made me who I was. This is my sweet 16 year in the school district, and this is my sixth year as a principal, and this is actually my second school. So I was a principal at one school for 4 years, and then last summer transitioned to a new school community. So this is my second year here at Fort Foote. So what I love the most about our community is just the pride that we have. Our hashtag is Pride at the Fort, and we live and breathe that. Like, we have parents and grandparents that have children that go here, grandchildren that go here. And I didn't realize how special this community was until we did something as simple as spirit wear t-shirts. And students were coming in with adult extra large sizes. And I'm like, who are you buying these shirts for? Well, my grandmother wants the shirt. My grandpa wants the shirt. And parents are just so proud to have their students here. Students are proud to be here. We're located right at the near the National Harbor, and just kind of borders like Washington, D.C., Maryland. So we have prime real estate. And what I love is just the reach into the community that we've been growing in the last 2 years. This is our family. Like, we use the word family and team all of the time because that just really embodies who we are as a school community. It's a family. And I just hate to brag, but unfortunately, I know people have other schools that they are part of, but Fort Foote is the best school ever. So I'm sorry. Shout out to all of the other schools, but have to brag a little bit. Fort Foote is, you know, best school ever.
Well, if you weren't bragging, someone else would, based on what I saw on the internet today in my research. So I'll give you just a quick background. As you know, you're listening, the listeners you're talking to today, we are all communicators in schools. So we're directors of communications, we're video folks, we're doing all kinds of stuff to help you do your job. Our job is to get the big rocks out of the way so you can do your job and lead your campus. So as I was looking through your social media and having conversations with folks, with Gracie and some other folks, they really talked about how you focus on communication. And I saw that multiple times on your campus website that, you know, clear communications is important to the mission of every student. So let's start with the internal side of that, because your teachers, I'm a former teacher. Before I went into communications, I taught video and radio. Now I have a podcast, so I guess it worked. How do you keep those teachers informed, and what's your focus when you think of internal communications? What are you doing to make sure your teachers are prepared every day?
Over-communicate. I touch bases with them every morning, even if it's just getting on the announcements and say, happy Wednesday. I hope everyone has a great Wednesday. Just a heads up, we have an assembly, maybe doing a fire drill later today, kind of doing something to just check in with them in the beginning of the day before students get in to the building. But I also use a weekly staff newsletter to be able to kind of communicate to them things that are going on that's just specific for that week. What I've learned is sometimes, like, a lot of forecasting is helpful, but they don't want to read a long newsletter with everything for the month of September, month of October. So instead, they just need to know what's happening Monday through Friday. Any changes, any shifts, something that's been very impactful. They wanted to know who was going to be out on certain days out of the week, because then they'll know when they need to step in to kind of prepare for, because we learned that they, if maybe there was the music teacher was out and we did not have a substitute, they love to know that in ahead of time versus when they take their class to music. So our weekly newsletters, staff newsletters, has been really key in providing just that consistent communication. But then we also have a group chat. And, you know, I text my teachers. I allow them to, you know, to text me if they have any questions about something. But that's also creating this, like, community that, you know, it's okay if you have a question. It's okay if you're confused about something. Please just reach out. You know, to ask me. But I think the biggest has definitely been the staff newsletter weekly, and then utilizing just the kind of 10 minutes before school starts, before students come in the building, to set the tone and the goals for that particular day.
I want to chime in. I want to just kind of zoom in on that newsletter you're talking about, because as, you know, as someone who's been in multiple districts and seen quite a few internal and external newsletters go out, they stay pretty much the same. Mm-hmm. You know exactly what you're going to get in them. And from what you just said, it sounds like you heard a need of your teachers that said, hey, I need to know when people aren't here, or I don't need to know what's happening in 8 weeks. I need to know what's happening in 8 minutes. Yeah. And you kind of adapted there. So when you did that, and obviously I'm assuming you saw, you know, the teachers appreciated it. It showed them that they had a voice in what was, and you were hearing their needs. So I applaud that and applaud you for adapting and pivoting a little bit there. When you see your teachers respond, and when you see them
What have you seen from that newsletter, with them being more informed? Are they more confident? Are you seeing that they're more engaged in the group chat, or more like, how has it changed your culture of your campus?
I definitely feel like it has increased the positive climate and culture. Someone once told me that the climate and culture is the personality and attitude of a building. And I really think the staff newsletter has, because I start off the staff newsletter with some motivational paragraph, some like charge for the week. And then it just kind of trickles down in the rest of the newsletter. And so, you know, teachers are aware now of, you know, if, okay, we have two teachers out on Tuesday. All right, Dr. Daniel, do you need me to step in somewhere extra? Because I noticed on the newsletter. Or there's also an opportunity in the newsletter where we shout out the staff. So seeing them congratulate a team or a staff member from being recognized in the staff newsletter in our bare spotlight, like that continues the positive culture. And it lets me know, okay, they're reading the newsletter. Because I'm also looking at the analytics of the newsletter. I'm seeing how many times they open it. What are they clicking on? What are they not clicking on? What do I need to take out of it to make sure that it's just concise? That it's just, the things that you need to know for this current week.
And when you start doing shout-outs, you know, teachers are going to open it because they want to see if they're one of the ones getting the shout-outs. Yeah, it's just like parents following social media. They want to know what's going on campus, but they really want to see if you took a picture of their kid and put it on social media that day.
Absolutely.
So let's shift. I was looking at your social media, and first off, just the walls of your school, just the painting and the colors, that it just pops in pictures I see y'all post. But talking to me a little bit about how you take that, what you do internally. You've prepared your teachers, they're ready, and you've moved it externally, because we are living in a time where parents want to be more involved than ever. They want to have a say, and they want to know what's going on with their kids' education. And I think external communications over the next couple of years is going to be huge, because we're getting out of COVID and schools are open again and things are happening again. So what is your approach to keeping your community engaged, communicated with, and what kind of role do they play in that type of communications?
So the first place that we do communication is we send out a monthly newsletter. And so as a parent, I'm a parent myself, as a parent, I want to know what's happening for the month in my school. We know that parents need that month glance. So that monthly newsletter goes out. And if it's not on the calendar, if it's not on the monthly calendar, it does not happen. And I'm very, very particular about not adding additional events or being mindful of cancellations. Because once we send it out to the community, that calendar, families create their schedules and their lives off of that. But then on a consistent basis, we use Class Dojo as our way to communicate with families constantly, like through the day, through the week. So every Sunday, I do a weekly update to parents. And in that weekly update, I'm giving them information, again, for that particular week. So, for example, if this week there's no school on Thursday, reminding them that they need to upload or check their students' lunch accounts. Or if I'm saying, hey, I'm going to give everyone a dress down pass on Tuesday. Parents want to know those things. So parents have gotten accustomed to receiving a weekly update from me via Class Dojo on every Sunday nights. But they also can get messages and posts from everybody in the building. But I think the biggest thing that they have enjoyed with Class Dojo and just the communication, when I go into classrooms to do informal observations on teachers, I take pictures and I post them on Class Dojo. And I share what I saw, like, hey, today I went in second grade. They were doing a math problem. They were talking about money. Check this out. And then I'll ask the question, what grade do you want me to go to next? And then now all of the parents are commenting, go to first grade, go to kindergarten, or I see my student. And that just, again, gets them to understand that our school communication tool of Class Dojo isn't just to get information out, but to also share like what's happening within the building. And they love the little glimpse of in the classroom.
I have a 9-year-old, I have a 4th grader, so I feel you, I'm a parent. And this is our first year with a teacher and a campus that has gone all in on Class Dojo. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. I mean, it reminds me of when she was in a daycare and the daycare would send, hey, she had milk for lunch. Hey, she had some cereal. Like the teachers, they are on it. So that is a great tool. And I love what you said. It gives them a glimpse inside of the classroom because that's what they give us their most prized possession for 8 to 10 hours a day. Mm-hmm. They just want to make sure they're safe and they're good and they're learning. And you're showing that. But at the same time, another thing you said is it's not a pushing information. It's two way. They can come back and say, hey, go see my kid next. Hey, there's my kid. Hey, they're learning something. I mean, in my daughter's class, they posted, hey, here's what we did yesterday. And one of the moms was like, hey, my kid's struggling with this. How do I teach this at home? And that teacher went in and made a video and sent a link to a video. Here's how you can teach your kid multiplication tables or whatever it was for the day. So I love the fact that you're using a tool that parents like, teachers like, kids want to see their pictures. My kid comes home and gets on my phone and looks at my Class Dojo, probably to see if she's got any bad messages. Uh-huh. But more importantly, hey, did you get a picture of me today? Because I'll mention something they did and it drives her nuts that I know what she did when she wasn't home. Uh-huh. But I just love that you're dedicated to that and making sure there's two-way and you're giving them a glimpse into the classroom and you're showing them what their kids are experiencing on your campus.
Hello, party people. My name is Liz Anderson. I am a communications specialist with CISO Communications, and this is your CISO top tip for this episode. Communication is key at all levels of education. We advise our clients to communicate internally through newsletters or updates using the no-do-share model, or as we refer to it, the KDS model. KDS is all about getting important information to your audience in small, digestible bits. We find the KDS model works great with staff members by reducing the number of emails they receive every day. Within the no portion of the update, district leaders or principals can share information that the audience needs to know. Similarly, in the do section, leaders can share action items that need to be completed along with their upcoming deadlines. The share area of the update is for supplying information and identifying who each item should be shared with. If there is a district-wide picnic coming up to celebrate the end of the school year, then that information would be able to be shared with all families. Interested in seeing what this looks like in action? Visit bit.ly/CISOtoptip, subscribe, and download your free guide to the KDS model. Again, that is bit.ly/CISOtoptip. Justin will share the link in the show notes as well. For more information on CISO Communications, visit thecso.com or follow us on our social channels at CISOcom. At CISO, we partner with districts as we work together to rethink possible.
So switching gears a little bit, if you're anything like me, my wife, and the educators that I know, I'm in Texas, by the way, we don't like asking for help. We educators as a whole have this, I got this, don't worry about it, I got it. You're busy, I got it, don't worry about it. Like, I hated asking you to do this because I knew you were busy, but as district administrators, as communications folks, it's our job to help you to make your job easier. And so I'm giving you the opportunity to ask for help for campus principals across the country. If you were to talk to a director of communications or to someone in a communications office and say, man, this is what we really need. How can we help you do your job better, communicate better, and just build that culture that you're so proud of there at your campus?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. I think the biggest axe would be to streamline the resources. So when I think of our school district, there are communication protocols, there are different letters for different instances, and you want to know, well, what letter? Do I use letter A? Do I use letter B? Having all of those resources in one place because, you know, for example, if an incident happens at our school and we need to share that or communicate that with our school community before students go home, I don't want to have to wait for my my director of communication to stop whatever it is that they're doing, because I'm sure it's super important to write a letter for me or help me write a letter, like creating templates for us to use and it be in a shared space, I think would be very beneficial. But then also to just kind of help curate the content that we give to parents in a way that it is easy to digest. I think a lot of times we forget that as educators, we know all the acronyms, we know the terminology, but when we sit in front of a parent, they don't. And we do a disservice to them often because we're expecting them to have the same level of capacity of understanding as we do, and they just don't. No fault to them. This is what we do. This is not what they do. And so, you know, creating content that is disseminated to parents in a way that it is easy to understand, easy to digest, but then it is also the same across the district. Like the message that goes to elementary school shouldn't be that much different than what goes to a middle school and a high school. So making sure that everything is kind of streamlined and very clear and concise to families, but then also a place, a spot, a whatever it is of resources that principals can quickly go into if something, they have a question about something, they need something, as opposed to having to wait for a director of communication or your communication specialist to write it for you, because typically there's only one or two people in that office for an entire school district. So just kind of creating some type of resources where we can be self-sufficient, but we're utilizing resources that have already been vetted through the communications office.
I want to touch on a couple things you said. First off, I have always, in every district I've worked on or worked at, I've always said we need to have like a one pager with all these abbreviations, because it'd be like, I told my, you know, talked to my wife about a lot of things with education because that's what we both do. But I told her, I said, Katie, this would be like you sitting down and talking to someone who's like a baseball analytics person. Mm-hmm. And they're like RBIs, WAR, all the different things that baseball, you don't, people don't know what all those means. I'm a baseball fan, fantasy baseball player, and don't know what half of the stats mean. Mm-hmm. I think that it is important, and I think that's something that is a big takeaway for our listeners, is if we can find a way to take all these things, all this tech speak, education tech speak, and communicate it in a way that gives parents, even if it's just something teachers have, hey, we're having a, you know, an ARD meeting today, here is some of the terminology we may be using. It's just a page that you keep even and share with them. The other thing is on communications when it comes to crisis. You mentioned if there's an incident, and, you know, incidents range from there was a fight in the cafeteria to the worst thing you could think of that could happen on your campus. And I think it is very forward thinking for you to think, hey, I'd train me. Train me how to do this, because if you trust me, we train me, that kind of thing. So if you were sitting in front of a director right now and you were like, hey, I would love the opportunity to be trained in what train blank, fill in the blank. What is something that you think that principals would, and nobody wants more training, don't get me wrong. But if from a communication side, if a principal, if director was sitting there and said, hey, I've got 3 hours, I can sit down and train you in something. What is something that you think would be very useful for you to learn as a principal and principals in general?
How to navigate the difficult the conversations with politicians, board members, the political conversations, the things that we have to sometimes tiptoe over, because I don't want to say the wrong thing that is going to potentially make me lose my job or at least get called down to the table. But I want to make sure that I'm firm in advocating for my school community. But I want to make sure that I do it in a way that I'm not throwing my school district underneath of the bus. But so I think it's just kind of doing that dance that communication specialists do very well at, of just kind of navigating, or I don't know how to put it, but just creating the conversation in a way that it does not it makes it positive. It continues to make the conversation positive, because I think what we're always afraid of, and I can speak for myself, but I probably can speak on behalf of, but one of the things that we're always worried about is, saying the wrong thing, mm-hmm. for it to be interpreted the way, intent versus impact. Like, the intent of me saying that was not to have that impact that it did. So maybe help me on how do I share this situation that we had at our school today that could possibly put people in a panic mode or fear, but to make sure that they understand there's nothing to be afraid of, things were handled and taken care of, I can assure you the safety and security is important to us. So just being able to help with that conversation, I think, is what we would need the most right now.
Well, I will tell you two things from what you just said. Number one, the last episode of our show was actually on communicating during midterm elections. So if you want to go back and listen, feel free.
But I will.
The second thing that I keyed in on there was, communications people feel the same way sometimes. I think I'm going to pull the curtain back a little bit and show you into our office. We're nervous about saying the wrong thing a lot too. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're in a time right now where you can say one thing and somebody heard it different and now it's national news. But I think that the thing that I try to remind myself, and my wife too, because she's firm advocate for her campus, and she's like, I'm going to say the wrong thing. I know I'm going to say the wrong thing. I'm just like, if you're not advocating for your kids, who is? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, especially when it comes to politics on a whole or boards and things like that, multiple districts, multiple campus districts, things like that, someone's got to advocate for those students in your walls. And so I applaud you for wanting to learn how to do that. And I think those are a couple topics, great topics, actually, that we can focus on as communications folks to help our people on the campuses. So I appreciate you being a little vulnerable and sharing those things with us today. and just being a part of this. But we always end every show with the same question, and I am interested to hear your answer. Obviously, you're in education for a reason. There's obviously probably at some point in time during your educational career, a teacher, principal, or somebody who had a positive impact on your life and helped you lead to where you are today. So if you were to tell me about one, maybe two teachers or administrators that left a lasting impact on you, who are they?
It was my kindergarten teacher, Miss Jones. And I'm about to give you a real full circle moment. Miss Jones is now one of my substitute teachers that comes to my building and only will come to Fort Foot, because she just remembers me being in her class in kindergarten. And when I think of the educator that she was to me, I think about the educator that I try to be for my staff, my students, and she has made the biggest impact on me. I say that to her every time that she comes into our building, that I am who I am as a teacher because of her. So I've had great teachers, great administrators, but Ms. Jones, my kindergarten teacher, she was the one for me that has had the lasting impact, that it goes to now when she comes into my building to sub and she says that she's proud of me because I did something, I still get that five-year-old feeling of, yes, I did it. I made her proud of me. And that keeps me going.
Well, I just want to say thank you for sharing that, and thank you for the job you're doing, and happy Principal's Month, and I hope everybody spoils you and brings you drinks and candy or whatever it is you want. I do want to say that I'm not trying to put you out there or anything, but during that conversation just now, during that answer, she was signing paperwork and handing it to somebody because they needed a signature. So principals never stop working. So never thank you for what you do. Thank you for what you do.
It was a communication letter of an incident that needed to go out today.
It never stops. And I was like, man, she is keeping this answer perfect. She was signing a paper, handing it over the computer. Thank you for being here. Thank you for doing what you do. And just thanks for being such an impactful leader in your campus and for your students. So thanks for being here today.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, everyone.
Well, there you have it. Another episode of School PR Happy Hour.
I want to thank Dr. Ryan Daniel for taking some time out of her day, a very hectic day, as she let me know after the interview, and for sharing her energy and expertise with us. I also want to thank Dr. Gracie Branch from NAESP for connecting us, and finally my good friend and colleague, Susan Hardy Brooks, who started the conversation to make this episode possible. I challenge each of you out there listening to go and have a conversation similar to this with your principals. I know I picked up on a lot of things that I plan to use in my time talking with campus leaders. Today's CISO Top Tip link will be shared on the School PR Happy Hour Twitter. Follow us at SPR Happy Hour. It'll also be in the show notes, or you can visit at bit.ly/CISO Top Tip. Again, that's bit.ly/CISO, all caps, capital T-O-P, capital T-I-P. And register, and you'll receive the tip in your inbox. Thank you so much for listening and sticking with us on this adventure. And like Aaron always says, now let's go out there and be a little better at our jobs every day.